This call is now being recorded.
Hello, can you both hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you fine, honey.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, with everything going on in our world right now, it's a little hectic, and I think we're all seeing something none of the generations currently living have experienced. And I was wondering what you guys, what do you know about the coronavirus?
Well, I know they say it started in China, and it spread rapidly, very contagious. I know they were working on a vaccine, but the funding was cut off in 2016. I don't know if people know anything different, but...
No, I just know you're supposed to keep your distance, but it's
just
idiots and...
Okay.
Do you have a fear of catching the coronavirus?
Well, actually, we've been staying in, so... I was just talking to him before. We haven't been all out this whole month. Except to run over to Kroger's and pick up our groceries.
Yeah, that's definitely a different way to live.
Stuff off and everything.
Yeah, even the mail. When I get the mail in, I wipe everything off. I use gloves to go down and pick it up.
Yeah, that's good. It's definitely scary times. It's different. Do you feel like you are currently preparing for the virus, or were you already prepared?
Well, I've always, stocked up on items. I have plenty of things. We could live for 6 months without it going out for groceries. I have so much stocked up, except for like milk and eggs, something like that.
We don't have quite that much, but we got a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think? You said you've always always stocked up on groceries. Do you know when you began doing that?
I've always been doing that ever since we were married. I couldn't afford to get a lot then, but when they'd have sales and I had the money, I'd always stock up.
How long have you two been married?
Let's see.
67 years.
It'll be 67 years in April.
Wow. That's amazing.
A long time, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you think did you get this from maybe one of your parents as to why you stocked up on things, or is there an experience in your life that happened that caused you to do this, or is it just the incentive of sales?
Well, I think, our parents grew up, they were in during the Depression. And I remember my mom saying that they ate a lot of rice. They couldn't afford anything else and things like that. I guess that rubbed off on me.
Yeah, I was born in 30 and through the Great Depression. So we were used to people being poor and not having much.
All right. How do you think this pandemic will change society?
Oh, my goodness. I hope it changes the people to think more about their finances, for one thing. There's an awful lot of people getting laid off. And, in fact, I heard just on the news that 1,700 people were laid off over in Cincinnati at City Hall, the workers, and that tonight.
And I hope that people, when they go to vote for people that they think can do a good job instead of just being out for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Definitely, for sure. Is there anyone in your immediate family who's been laid off due to the coronavirus?
No, not due to the coronavirus.
Oh, well, Steve was late.
Well, our son, but I don't think it's...
Business
has been going down ever since Trump got in.
Yeah, manufacturing.
To tell you the truth, they haven't sold any machines. And the only work he was doing was going around fixing machines in different states and that you know, but no new machines were bought.
Yeah, when they put in, when you put in the tariffs on steel and aluminum, that manufacturing jobs were really hurt.
Okay, so you think that your son Steve being laid off relates to the current presidential administration and not the vice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, since I've asked you how do you think it will change society, what do you think will remain the same?
I don't know. I can't answer that. Just hopefully it... What were you saying?
I just hope that when people vote, they think more about who they're voting for and look into their past.
Do you think, do you have enough faith in humanity that they would do that?
I don't know.
Anymore, you have to wonder.
Well,
you know, what you see.
I'm just going to say this for a little bit. We just saw on the news this church in Louisiana packed with people, and they're not making very good decisions. I mean, packed.
And after Mardi Gras and all those people, and there are so many cases of coronavirus down there. Wouldn't you think they would stay home? You know, most of the churches around here that I know of, you know, they don't, nobody goes anymore.
That's good. I was just watching, we're in Kentucky, and I don't know if you've been watching the Governor Andy Beshear give his speech every day at 5 o'clock, but I was watching it today, and he actually was getting on some churches. I think he said it was Robinson County, about them not closing. And apparently his grandfather was the minister of one of these churches, and he was telling the Kentucky citizens how disappointed he was in them.
Yes, we finally got a governor with some brains.
But it'll never recover if people don't do what they're supposed to do and stay away from one another. And you know, I mean, that's what causes it to...
I think people were used to having the president running around saying it's a hoax, and it was brought up by the news and that, and they heard this so much that if he would have been saying the right thing, people would have been prepared for what happened. But running around calling it a hoax and blaming the news and that, I think he brought it on. It would have hit, but if we'd have been prepared, it wouldn't be as bad.
I don't think Amanda wants us to be political.
Well,
oh, no. I want you to say what you're feeling and what you're thinking. And I want you to say exactly that. If that's what you're feeling and you believe, I think it's very important.
Well, that's not being political. It's meaning somebody should be doing the right thing and thinking before they say stupid things.
So you think that if we had a different president, we could have prepared for the pandemic differently or been prepared for it differently?
Oh,
yes,
definitely.
Definitely. Well, I don't want to go into more on him, but... Good for hours.
Yeah, how much time do you have?
You were talking about people experiencing financial loss, or the government or Kentucky government experiencing financial losses, or people not being able to recover from that. Do you think that our current government, be it Kentucky's government or federal government, do you think they can come up with other plans to help alleviate those issues for businesses and individuals?
Oh, I think eventually they will recover, but it'll be slow. I just hope that Congress does a good job and don't just go work for themselves, work for the people.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what we always want. I asked that question because you both mentioned about preparation and that you learn these things or acquire this idea from the Great Depression. And as we know, part of like the Great Depression was the FDR New Deal. And I was just kind of thinking, if do you think there's going to be something like that that's going to come after the pandemic?
Well, no, I don't think it's going to get that bad. But
okay.
I do think that if they do the right thing, I think everything will work out. But you got to have people that are doing the right thing.
Yeah, use common sense.
Yeah.
Do you think so? We can all agree that, you know, social distancing right now is, you know, how one of the ways we're handling the virus. Do you think corporations are doing the right thing currently?
Well, I think they should have. They should have been preparing in the beginning, and it wouldn't have been as bad as it is right now. But it will get over. But it's going to have people that do the right thing.
Okay. What about, we'll start with Grandma, Jean. What other crises have you experienced in your life?
Well, one of the most, I guess, devastating was when our little 21-month-old, I think I told you about her, Amanda, granddaughter died. She had meningitis. And then 3 months later, my father died. And then 3 months later, my grandmother died. And then I guess about 4 months later, Karen, the baby's mother, was in a bad accident. And she had a car ran into her, and she had her teeth knocked out and was, you know, hurt. But it seemed like I walked around in a daze wondering, you know, what was going to happen next.
How did you handle that? How did you get through that?
Well, at the time I was working, I just got up and went to work and just took one day at a time. That's all you can do.
Yeah. You mentioned your granddaughter died of meningitis. That is a disease that there is currently, and I don't know if there ever will be, a vaccine for. So while it's not as, I guess, common now for children to get it, it still happens.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to come out with a vaccine for the coronavirus, do you think everyone should be required to get it?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do you think do you have no like quarrels with anyone getting a vaccine that was created in a short period of time?
You mean for the coronavirus?
Yes.
Oh no, I think, you know, they wouldn't. I'd have faith in the, you know, the scientists and all that it was safe, you know, to have it.
Good. Are there any other crises in your life that have jumped out? What do I think? I definitely think that we should be required to get it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there is a chance that there's long-term effects, I think if we can, you know, save people from dying, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Have you experienced any other crises in your life that stick out to you, rather they be personal or political or maybe a war?
Well, several things, but there's nothing that was as bad as that.
For sure. Yeah, I can't.
all
yeah, I can't
stuff,
imagine.
You know, like
right.
Within, like within 6-7 months.
And did that cause you any anxiety?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any fears that could possibly, like, that anxiety make you feel like you were next kind of thing?
No, but I just kept thinking, what's going to happen next? Because it just seemed like every, you know, every other month, it seemed like there was something bad happening. And after Karen was in that accident, you know, I thought, oh, gosh, what's next? You know, and but everything settled down after a while, but it's something you never, you'll never forget.
Definitely. All right. Edward, what about you? How has there been any crisis in your life that you've experienced?
Yes. My mother died when I was 9 months old. My brother and sister and I went to live with my grandmother, who had six children of her own. My father was an alcoholic and wouldn't pay her any money. And in the 30s, the women could not go to court and get money from men. Back then, in 1936, my grandfather had to go to the hospital for a hernia operation and died during operation. And I'm sure it was a foul-up. And then when he died, my grandmother only got a small pension. She couldn't take care of us. So about a year and a half later, when I was about between 8 and 9 years old, I had to go live with my father, who was an alcoholic, and his girlfriend. And I lived with him till I graduated from high school. And then joined the Army. And it's no fun living with an alcoholic.
I definitely can imagine that. Man, considering we're in social distancing right now, how do you think, since you've been in that situation before, how do you think kids who are currently living with parents who are alcoholics are getting by right now?
Well, alcoholics, they care nothing about their drinking. My father was not only an alcoholic, he gambled all his money on the races. But alcoholics never change.
So currently with the coronavirus in the state of Kentucky, they are keeping open liquor stores and alcohol is considered a life-sustaining essential. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree. I think people that smoke and drink, their life expectancy is going to be not as long. And all these young ones that were vaping, they're in trouble, too, if they get that, because they've already damaged their lungs. You should always think of your health before you do anything. Jean and I have never smoked in our life.
Do you agree with the Kentucky governor keeping liquor stores open as life-sustaining?
Well, they're going to get their drink one way or another. So you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. People that want to drink are going to drink. They'll get it one way or another. Because if the liquor stores aren't open, there'll be places where they can go and buy it. Believe me. That happened during Prohibition. When there were no liquor stores.
Yeah. Do you think that might be one of the reasons why they're keeping it open, that they know it's just a losing battle?
Oh, it's a losing battle if you try to keep them from getting it.
You mentioned that you went to live with your grandmother after your mother died, and so with you and your siblings plus her six children, how do you think single mothers are handling being stuck at home and with, you know, not being able to go anywhere? You have kids that, you know, want to go to places, and you have to go to the grocery store, and they, you know, they're telling you, just come by yourself to the grocery store? How do you think single mothers are handling this situation?
Well, I feel sorry for women that are alone with children. It's going to be hard. And I blame most of the problems on the men, not the women.
Are there other crises in your life that stick out to you that you've experienced?
No, but that was enough.
Right, no, definitely, for sure. That was a lot. Do you remember, either one of you, do you have any memories of the Great Depression since you were young children growing up during that time?
Oh, the kids that lived on my street, they were lucky if they got something to eat once a day. And when I was in grade school, they gave us a bean sandwich for lunch in the 30s. We got a bean sandwich. It was baked beans on bread, and that was your lunch. Although when I lived with my grandmother, we always had food because my grandfather worked. Not everybody was out of work, but there were people, the kids that I played with, that their parents didn't work, and they had a really hard time.
And also one of his grandma's son, his uncle, had a grocery store.
Yeah, he had a grocery store.
So he would give her enough groceries.
Yeah, there used to be a lot of small grocery stores, a lot where it was just one person running back in those days. And they had the public works that built roads, built parks and that, and a lot of them worked for the government back then and would send money home to some of the people. And where Wilder is now, that was all hobo camps from hobos that rode the rails. My brother and I used to go and talk to them all the time.
Yeah, one thing I do remember is there used to be a hobo or a bum. We called him a bum. It would come through the back door, the porch, and want to know if he could have some food. And my grandma was living with us then, and she'd always fix him a meal. And I was just a little kid, but I can still see him sitting there, sitting on the steps, eating his meal. And then you wouldn't see him for maybe 2 weeks, and then he'd come back and ask for another meal. I guess he went around to different houses.
There were so many of them out of work that they'd ride the rails different places.
It's actually that's what hobo means, a train rider.
If you want to learn a lot about the Depression, watch, there's a movie. What is that? Remember that one with?
I don't remember.
I can't think of it. With Henry Fonda and.
Oh yeah, that. They were Okies.
About how they went to California to try to pick stuff. It was
the Grapes of Wrath.
The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh,
if you ever get a chance to see that, you should see that. There's two movies that you should always see is The Grapes of Wrath and Inherit the Wind.
Okay.
But I think I was born like just a bit when the Depression was getting over.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. I didn't know what they were, I was told.
See, I was 3.5 years older than Gene, so I was around 5 and 6 and 7 along where the people on our street were really, really poor.
It makes me think with the Great Depression, like I know you said you don't think the economy is going to get that bad, but it's just this, it is going, it is affecting people's lives right now, especially because there are people who were forced to leave work and So I think there are some connections between, maybe not to the extent of the financial burden, but I think there is definitely some connections to what is happening now to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting. So, Grandma, since you said you kind of grew up, I guess, maybe more memories after the Great Depression, do you remember, and Grandpa, I guess you obviously were there too, how was that economic boom where people were getting jobs and, you know, just getting back to life? Do you remember any, do you have any memories from that time? And did you see maybe the people on your street who were poor kind of go up in the world at all?
Well, it just gradually things got better and better and better. But it took time. But I do remember, you know, the people being so poor back in the 30s. It was really, really, really
yeah,
bad.
I had a friend that lived across the street, and they had 9 children. And they were poor, and I remember their mother would smear like lard on their bread, and they'd eat lard, you know, lard and bread.
Yeah,
that's what they'd have to eat.
Yeah, yeah. People, unless you're our age, when they had the like a people losing jobs, it's nothing like what it was in the 30s. Nothing.
That's good.
That's probably why I always seeing my mom and, you know, being so careful with her, with the food and her money and everything. That's probably why I always wanted to stock up on things, and I worked, and Grandpa worked, but I always made it so that if something would happen to him, if he'd get laid off or I'd get laid off, I always made it so that we could, we didn't overspend, that we could live on one salary. And I know nowadays a lot of these younger ones, both of them have to work. You know, they'll buy things and they have to work. But I always made sure that if one of us couldn't work, we could always live on what the other one made.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't overspend.
Mm-hmm. No, we never bought anything we couldn't afford. Never.
I think that's really good advice for anyone. I guess, do you have any final thoughts, anything that I didn't ask about that you know about the coronavirus, or you want to get off your chest about the coronavirus?
No, I just think that it could have wouldn't be as bad as when it was starting, and they knew it was coming here, and when it started coming, they'd have made plans and checked the people coming into the country instead of just running around calling it a hoax. It wouldn't have got this bad.
And making sure they had the...
Yes. Making sure that they got the supplies they needed, that the health people would have got their supplies. See, when World War II broke out, Roosevelt had the automobile companies within weeks planning on making tanks and planes and that... He got the country mobilized instead of running around acting like an idiot.
I think that's a really good point. Do you know if there any laws, or I guess maybe, I don't know what you call them, but like a team of people in the government whose job it was to, you know, do this kind of thing in the face of a pandemic?
Well, see what real leaders do, when emergencies coming, they assemble the best minds they can get and get opinions from them and work together instead of one person not paying attention to what health officials and other people say. That's the big difference.
I think that's a really good point, because I know right now one of the biggest issues is that hospitals don't have tests, or they're not able to test everybody.
Well, I can't think of anything else.
All right.
No, I can't either. I hope we helped you.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Jean, because I know you are actually doing something to help with the coronavirus. Would you tell me about how, what you're doing to help and how that makes you feel?
Oh, you mean making masks?
Yes.
Well, Joey and Fabric was had the kits where you could, they were giving them to you. You could go out and get all the supplies, the, you know, the material and everything, but then they ran out. So I wasn't able to get any.
Oh, no.
I didn't have any.
Well, okay, well, and that makes a good point. They ran out of those, and do you know why they ran out of those?
Well, I guess they had so many, and they had, you know, all this, a lot of people and companies, I guess, donated the material, and then they bagged it all up and got it all ready. But then there were so many people that when I called, they were already out of the kits. So,
Who are they? What are these kits for? Like, who are they making these kits for? What are, like, these masks?
Well, you know, on one place I saw where the hospitals aren't accepting handmade masks, but then Aunt Patty said that St. Elizabeth had a, you know, online they had a pattern and told you how you could do it. So she made one, and it was, I know you don't know much about sewing, Amanda, but there was two pieces of material, the front and the back, and then the inside they were supposed to put flannel. And we both said, well, if the three, you know, if there's three layers of material, how would they be able to breathe? But anyway, she made a couple, and she gave them to Amy because Amy might, you know, Amy's off now, but she might have to go someplace, you know, because she's a nurse practitioner, and they must have called her and asked her how many feet warmers and how many different things that she already had, so she's assuming that she'll probably have to go somewhere. So at least she can use some of those masks, but that's all I know. You know, I was willing to make them, but since they, you know, ran out of the kits, maybe they'll get more. They might make more, you know.
So St. Elizabeth is a hospital, sorry. St. Elizabeth is a hospital, and so they're the ones who need the mask, and it's in such demand that even kits for the public to help are also gone.
But I think most of the kits, just people, you know, your average person is supposed to wear them. I don't think the hospital can wear those, you know.
Okay.
Nurses and that. I don't think they're the right kind. I think it's, like Rachel said, it's a certain kind of material that they're made out of. So, but we couldn't understand how it could be lined with flannel, because you know how that would be over your nose and mouth. That would be so thick.
Oh, yeah.
Material.
I already feel like I can't breathe with a regular one on.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel that hospitals are in need of their medical equipment?
How does it make me feel?
Yeah, what does that make you think about, like, thinking that hospitals have such a lack of supplies that the public is, you know, chipping in to help?
Well, I feel like it's the government's fault that they didn't have all this
to begin with. They have the power to get companies to make things if they want to use their power.
And then what was that World Health Organization offered? I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of
test kits,
and the government refused. But they didn't need them. They said they didn't need them. That was about 6 weeks ago, I guess.
Why do you think they refused them?
I have no idea.
Because
the moron we got in the White House.
Yeah, moron.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any more questions. I think you guys have talked a lot about that. Actually, I think, Grandma, you made a point that they have the power to have companies make these items. And Grandpa actually mentioned that during, I believe you said, World War II, that the president had the automobile companies.
All they switched over real quick and were manufacturing things. But
do you think... Sorry.
Person, a really leader back then.
Well, Amanda,
okay.
Is his company making, you know, hand sanitizers? Because I saw where several companies like that have switched in their equipment and can make hand sanitizers.
No, because his company doesn't actually brew alcohol or make alcohol. They just distribute it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So since they just distribute it, they can't.
Yeah, you have to have the alcohol.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was a really good interview, and I learned a lot, and I thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to me about this.
Okay.
Well, I hope it helps. You know, I hope we didn't give some stupid answers.
I don't think you gave any stupid answers. I don't think that's possible.
Oh, honey, well, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to end the recording now.
I love you.